passage selected for the sermon this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, which was the Gospel for this morning. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we are celebrating Rogation Day. Rogation Day is an ancient festival of the church. It goes back to the time when the church was united into a single church. It's the pleas that goes along with the gratitude we express at Thanksgiving. At this time, as we're getting ready to sow our fields, we are asking God humbly to come and to bless our work, to have the seeds that we sow today turn into the bountiful harvest that we hope to give thanks for later in the year. The way that the service was done was that the congregation met at the church and they walked the boundary of the fields in the village, saying the litany of the saints as they went. And in that sense, what they were doing was marking those fields as belonging to God and asking him for his bounty upon them. Then, of course, the procession would end at the church, and we would offer up the Eucharist. It's so appropriate that the gospel that's chosen for this day talks about how our prayers are answered. And it is an incredibly comforting thought to think that if we ask in Jesus' name that we shall receive and that our joy will be full. It's as comforting a thing as the Creator could possibly say to his creatures. And of course, we don't believe it. We don't. And when you're a kid and you pray for that special toy or the pony, right? Or that somebody special notices you, or that your parents would stop fighting, or that your beloved grandparent wouldn't go away to heaven, it didn't seem like your prayers were answered. And as you're an adult and you pray for relief from your financial difficulties and from our physical ailments, when the people that we love are in distress and we pray for them, and when we pray again that people that are beloved to us don't pass away, it seems like our prayers are not answered. And so we look at this passage as if it's some kind of trick, not daring to say that Jesus lies to us, but you know, maybe it's like one of those radio ads with a lot of disclaimers on the bottom, or that it's some misinterpretation of an ancient language that doesn't really come across very well. I mean, it even seems that in Scripture, prayers are not answered. St. Philip asks Jesus to show him the Father, and Jesus just throws up his hands in aggravation. St. Peter, when told that by Jesus that he was going to go and to be humiliated and captured and judged and crucified, said, God forbid. I mean, what a beautiful prayer. It's a prayer we would say to any of our friends that were going in to some great difficulty. And Jesus responded, get thee behind me, Satan. The mother of James and John just wanted her children to be at the right and left hand of Jesus. St. Paul prayed that the thorn in his side that gave him difficulty and pain through his entire ministry would be taken away from him so that he would have vitality to preach the word. How good a prayer that is. And of course, the thorn was never removed. Even Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed, Lord, that this cup might pass away from me. But he had to take the cup and to go through his passion. And so it seems to us that it isn't real that we can just ask in God's name and have our prayers be answered. And as a result, we have feeble, weak prayer. We have prayer that doesn't have conviction. We have prayer that isn't robust in its faith. And that's a reason that our prayers are sometimes not answered. But what we fail to understand is that God answers our prayer in his way. And his way is that he has made a covenant with us. He has told us that I am the Lord God. 144 times he says this, I am the Lord God, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And he will not compromise. He will not indulge us in those desires that we have that do not lead us to the fulfillment of the covenant that he makes with us. Now, that sounds a little esoteric and obtuse, but I can make it real for us. My little grandson Cameron has migraines. All he wants is chocolate, right? If I give him chocolate, he's going to be in his room with pillows over his head in a darkened place and waiting for the nausea and the pain to pass. I have a better plan for him than that, even though his prayer for chocolate doesn't seem to get answered. And when Remy was a teenager and I wanted to give him all the knowledge and the wisdom of my life, I just wanted him to ask me how to get through and to establish himself, he asked me for the car keys so he could go out drinking with his buddies, right? And I have to admit that myself, you know, that I'll ask Carolyn to indulge me to go off and be with my buddies when what would be most edifying is probably to help her out with the three little guys and the two bigger guys that are there with them. And so it's really easy to see how a good and loving parent, our good and loving Father, God the Father, will not compromise what he has promised us by indulging us in those things that will detract or dissuade us from the path and from the purpose that he has set for us. He's too good a father to indulge us in all our whims and not expect that we wouldn't wind up being selfish, hellish brats. And so he holds his promise to the higher standard and not compromising it. And when we get patience, when we have the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and we can step back from our ache of desire, we realize that we are having our prayers answered, whether we recognize it or appreciate it immediately or not. St. Philip, after Pentecost, with the power of the Holy Ghost upon him, realized that every miracle that Jesus did and everything he said was showing the Father. And his prayer had been answered, but he didn't know it. Peter, with his very good prayer, that his friend not suffer, would have prevented Jesus from making that sacrifice that became the redemption for Peter and for all of us. And so, even though it was extremely well-intentioned, it wasn't answered because something better, something more wonderful, something more powerful was going to be given in its place. James and John didn't get seats at the right hand of Jesus on his throne, which was the cross. They got eternal thrones, judging the tribes of Israel from heaven. St. Paul never got the pain in his side, the thorn taken away. And Jesus told him why. He said, because you were a proud son of a gun, just like that Father Kerouac, and your pride will keep you from being a good minister to me. It will hurt you and it will hurt the people that I've given you to minister. And so, no, you're going to be reminded constantly that you do not minister in my name and your power, but in your weakness, so that my power can be shown. And Jesus, in that Garden of Gethsemane, ended his prayer saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's something that we can trust, because God's will for us is good. God's will for us is peace and love and light and everlasting life. And he will not compromise to give us anything less than that. So how do we know what prayers it is that can get answered? Well, it's simple. We look to Jesus. He tells us what prayer will have an answer, an immediate and an understandable answer. It's the Lord's Prayer. If we ask that the Father's name be hallowed, if we ask that his kingdom come, that his will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven, that we be forgiven our sins as we forgive, and that we are delivered from temptation and from evil, that prayer is answered every time, and understandably and clearly. And we're allowed to append our personal prayers to that prayer, to ask for healing for our friends, to ask for the resolution of our finances, to ask that our families be knit back together, to ask that those people that we don't want to let go don't go so quickly. Sometimes we get the affirmative answer, and Jesus says, yes, for my glory and for your benefit and for the way that I can turn the hearts of the people that observe this, I will grant that prayer. And sometimes he says no, that if you take that prayer now, it's to your harm in the long run. If you hold that person that you love here in this world today longer, you're just bringing pain to them, and I need them to be here by my side to pray you to joining them. Whether the answer is yes or no, inevitably God answers our prayer, and he answers it yes or no to our benefit and for our good. And so we can be confident. We can be peaceful. We can be faithful and pray to him, dear God, not my will, but thy will be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.